Yeah. Check it out. See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head.
Hey, well, all right, sir, I'm gonna give you a lot of money and welcome aboard. Here we come on lot number 29, and what are you gonna give for? I'm a 25, I'll get 35, another 50, make a 50 bit of long. Hey, well, all right, sir, I'm gonna give you a lot of money and welcome aboard. Here we come on lot number 29, and what are you gonna give for?
Yeah, boy!
Yeah, boy, it's August 29th, and it's episode 221, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of thefantasyfootballauction.com, the first website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. We've got a great show for you tonight. Tonight, we're going to recap our big home auction league. We're going to go over some news and notes. There's been lots of action over the last couple of days in the NFL. And we'll talk about some lessons maybe we've learned in our last few drafts, how that tied into our big auction league over the weekend. And we'll go crazy from there. But of course, our analysts, they're always here. He's still trying to figure out the bar hard times. Lester, how's it going tonight?
We got two words for ya.
It's going well. That was a place I thought for sure someone was going to get knifed. But yeah, glad we all got out of there safe, and I'm glad I didn't stay long.
Anyone talk to Avis after Uncle Lenny woke him up for his birthday?
Uncle Lenny?
the guy that drove us, the old guy. Anyways, he went tarps off and woke up Avis at 2:30 in the morning in the hotel room. It was pretty good.
Yeah, with his shirt off.
Yeah, full tarps off. It was awesome. Anyways, and Slim already piped in, but he's basking in the glory of commissioning yet another successful auction draft. Slim, great job this weekend. I think everything went pretty smooth outside of my math.
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I repeat, will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, it's pretty straightforward now. As long as everyone shows up and we have good weather, it goes pretty easy.
We had one spectator that cheered hard, and the other spectator that went, I think this is a little bit much for me, the other spectator, I'm out. So.
Yeah, well, that's you never know when people are watching, hey?
Yeah,
what's going to happen?
True enough. But no, it was a good weekend, Slim. Thanks. We good times, even though the golf was a little poopy, eh, Blister?
We sucked. No two ways about it.
As I say, if you're using six of my drives and only 70 of yours, we're not doing very well. And six of your seven are in the last six holes. Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
I see what happened there, man. Yeah.
It was probably three of mine earlier.
That's true.
Good. You piped it. Yeah, that looks great. Get there. Well, where is it? I don't know. It should be here. Yeah, it's not here. I don't know where it is. So. Let's go back to yours, Bex. So,
yeah.
Back to mine.
It's fair. It's fair. It's always back to mine.
Didn't hit anything close after that either. So, and then we never made a putt. So,
no.
Really, we had zero chance because we sucked at all parts of the game.
Absolutely. Well, we will talk about the draft though when we're heading forward. So, let's get this thing rolling. So, if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. All right, so like I said, we got a great show for you tonight. Tonight, we're going to recap our big home auction. We're going to go over some news and notes and talk about some of the lessons that we have learned over the last little bit as we are heading into the last big weekend of drafts, seeing lots of memberships getting piled up here, which is awesome. So you can head on over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com. Click on the membership area. You can buy the sheets, which is our AAV sheets that were heavily used during the draft on the weekend, plus Blista's tiers, Slim's tiers, and my cheat sheets. So that's all there. And for $14.95, if you want to buy the sheets and get the premium podcast, those are all there too. So head on over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com, click on the membership area, and you'll find it all there. All right, let's get into some news and notes. I was going to try to call it something, but I can't even remember. When we used to do the in-season stuff, guys, we used to do this stuff all the time, and I'm sure I had a header and a sounder for that. But anyways, we'll just keep rolling. So I saw towards the end of the day today that Laviska Shenault was traded to the Panthers. So there's got to be maybe some fantasy impact. Slim, what do you think about Shenault to the Panthers?
I can't say that I'm not interested. Other than DJ Moore, I wasn't too interested in anybody else there anyway.
Right.
I mean, I think it just gets a little bit more muddy. And who knows, maybe one of these guys, whether it's, you know, Terrence Marshall or Shenault or Robbie Anderson, carves out some kind of role. I saw today someone tweeted that, oh, maybe Shenault could kind of be like Curtis Samuel was a couple years ago there. But, I mean, I don't know. It's different coaching staff and stuff. So, anyway, yeah, I'm not really that interested in any of those guys. So, meh to me.
Blister, does it move the needle for you at all?
Well, I like him more that he got traded there because I don't think in Jacksonville he was, you know, he didn't have a great role there. But one of the things I also heard, too, is he could spell off C-Mac once in a while and give him a break. So he might get Debo a few carries, role. Something like that. Yeah. So I think he, you know, coming into the league, he, you know, he was touted to have a lot of talent, but just had an injury history in college. And so some people shied away from drafting him and stuff. But it'll be interesting to see what they have planned for him, because if he's more than just a receiver, then he could be a guy to go after down the road. So I think it's a little more interesting now than what he was prior to the move.
Okay. And so, Blister, I'll stay with you because Sony Michel comes from the Patriots. So we'll stay with you. Yes. We'll have a little segue there. So Sony Michel got released from the Dolphins today. So, you know, winning a Super Bowl to being on the waiver wire, it doesn't mean much for you as far as Sony Michel goes, but what about the rest of the backfield there in Miami?
Well, I was kind of surprised. I thought he might be one of the guys on there. Even, I think, this morning, I can't remember who it was. Maybe John, John Hansen or somebody. I was supposed to be coaching hockey right now. Christ, I can't even stay awake to do this. How would I do that hockey? Maybe the cold air would wake me up.
Yeah, there anyways, you go.
I kind of thought he might be there, and some guys were thinking he was the guy to pick, you know, after Edmonds, and hoping because he's a lot cheaper in the draft board and a lot cheaper in your auction board. But yeah, I was kind of shocked. I don't know. I mean, that's probably better for Edmonds. I don't know if Mostert can challenge him. And so I think that, it just means probably more touches. I feel like for Edmonds, it might just bump up his value a little bit more. Actually, probably would have chased him a little harder knowing that Sony Michel was not going to be in the mix. So I know that in our auction, I didn't go after him as hard as he was kind of there, and I was pretty thin, but I let him go to, I think, the Dolphins lover. So yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So, Slim, what does this do for Edmonds for you, and that Miami backfield?
I agree. I think it bumps up his value a little bit. I think it bumps up Mostert's more than Edmonds, mainly because, like, I think Edmonds had a pretty good lock on any receiving stuff that they wanted out of running backs. So it was going to be kind of like Mostert and Michel fighting over kind of between the tackles type stuff. And with now that gone, I mean, I don't know how much you trust Mostert, what he's got left in the tank, but I mean, now he should get more touches at least. So, I don't know. I think I bump up both of them, but definitely for me, Mostert becomes a little bit more of somebody I'd be interested in or paying attention to in a draft as a late running back, more than I was before anyway.
Yeah, for sure. So staying with running backs, I'm sure everybody, they're not going to be news breaking here on our podcast a few days later, but Brian Robinson was released from the hospital on Monday. According to Coach Ron Rivera, he's quote unquote in a really good place and is not necessarily ruled out for playing this season. So Slim, obviously, I mean, I'm sure you're not going after Brian Robinson right now, but what does this do for Antonio Gibson in your mind? And is he going to start moving up? He's got to start really jumping in value because, man, I mean, it's been pretty shitty here the last few weeks for him.
Yeah, I think this saved anybody who had Gibson Obviously, just feels.
That Gibson was the shooter.
Wow. Yeah, who knows? Hey, God. Terrible thing. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you own Gibson, I mean, you just got some second life here. So,
yeah.
Hopefully he can do something with it. I don't know if this brings, you know, a guy like Jarrett Patterson back onto the radar a little bit. Like, I have no idea what Washington's going to do because clearly they don't really like Gibson that much.
Yeah.
JD McKissic isn't going to just hit, you know, here's a bunch of carries.
Right.
So he pretty much specializes in one thing only. So I don't know. I guess by default it has to be Gibson, but I mean, and I don't know. I don't even know how long a guy like Robinson's going to be out for. So,
right.
Like, is he missing a month? Is it more? I have not heard about the severity of the injury, just that he's doing fine. And, you know, but does that mean he's in the hospital for a couple more weeks? Or I have no idea. So it's kind of a mess, but I think, you know, you got to roll the dice on Gibson.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting, Buster, like, it says here, according to Ian Rapapapapaport, that he hasn't been ruled out for playing at some point in 2022. But then I pulled this off of Fantasy Pros. The fantasy impact that they wrote up is mind blowing to me. While this unfortunate situation moves Gibson stock up a bit, it should not drive Robinson down too much. And I'm thinking, what, hold on, up a bit? Not down too much, like Buster. That's confusing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking. I mean, he's lucky he didn't hit anything major, but it's you know, tearing through flesh and muscle. I don't know how long you can, how long that takes to rehab. I have no idea. But it's. I mean, it's not good. Obviously, yeah, I feel bad for the guy. Season was ahead, maybe promising future, and who knows, like, this could derail the whole thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know, it's got to move Gibson up more than a bit.
Well, it has to. They don't have a lot there.
Well, no. And I mean, if we look at you know, we'll quickly use this as a segue, but if we go into Antonio Gibson, he went for $10 in our draft on Saturday, so all of a sudden that could be a real steal.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, exactly. If you own him now, or you drafted him just in the last, you know, 5 days to 7 days, when things couldn't have sounded any worse, then you got a good discount.
Absolutely. So, well, that's, I mean, I don't know. That's news. I don't know. Well, let's just keep rolling. And I mentioned the big auction draft on Sunday. So we've made it. We made a move, or on Saturday, sorry. We made a move this year to a 14-teamer. And it was our big home auction league. So the three of us are in it. Slim's the commissioner. Blister's probably won it 47 times. I think I've got a trophy from back in like 07 or something. It feels like that I've won that. But so we had a big auction draft on the weekend. We were at B-Dubs, 14 teamer super flex. Slim, what a, just like, overall, I mean, you're the commissioner and obviously you're in the draft. Like, just an overall general thought of what the draft was like and how it felt.
I expected it to be, what's the word? I don't want to say worse, but I thought going to 14 team, it was going to be, I don't know, uglier. Maybe is a good word, like, just in terms of looking at your roster and the types of players you were going to have to maybe be forced to bid on. And I didn't feel it was quite that bad. Mm-hmm. There was definitely, I felt like it was a grind. Just, I'm not sure if it was how I had budgeted. And I think Blister might kind of can speak to this maybe a little bit, because I know he had to wait a long time to buy guys as well.
Yeah,
I didn't have to wait quite as long for stretches, I don't think, but it was just a grind to try and find values, and like, we'll get into it more, but I mean, I think the first probably 4 or 5 players I bought pretty much were exactly what I had budgeted, not for the necessary for those players, but for the positions that I took them in, which kind of was like, I don't know. Normally when I draft, I kind of feel like I'm already starting to save some money in those spots. And it's like, okay, cool. Now I can kind of start pumping money here and making some moves and recalculating. And I just felt like I couldn't do that. It was just like everything was just kind of going, not necessarily to this plan, but like to this budget that I ended up having to follow. Right. I was like, oh, okay, well, this kind of sucks that I'm not really being able to shuffle some money around here. And like, I don't know, this might make my roster look pretty gross at the end. But anyway, yeah, it was fun though. I definitely would recommend switching a league to something like that, especially with a super flex. Like it, in the first year, especially, I think, like,
yep.
I didn't know necessarily what to expect, and we'll talk about it probably more too, but it kind of, that part I found pretty fun, trying to anticipate what was happening, and even as it was happening in the draft, just like, oh man, I wonder how much this guy's going to go for as as he was nominated, and so that was kind of fun.
Yeah, for sure. Blister, what some overall thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty, it was a lot of fun. I know with my own draft, and I will talk about prices in a bit, but yeah, I got to the end where I really kind of needed another running back. I had two starters, but one of them was Devin Singletary, and I wasn't thrilled with that. I just thought he was a good price. And then Damian Pierce came up, and I thought, well, there's really nobody left after this. So I spent as much as I could, and it was $15. So that left me with only $1 guys, which, you know, when you're only down to a dollar guy, you're the only buddy that's a dollar per guy, then everybody nominate, if they are decent, they're going to be gone for $2. So I like to save a few bucks to be able to do that. But yeah, the way it worked out, it didn't work out. So, but the starters I'm pretty happy with. Yeah, like Slim was saying, like I had budgeted more for quarterbacks because I thought, well, 14 team super flex, you know, everyone's going to want 28, and they were kind of going a little light at the beginning.
Not kind of, really light.
Yeah, and so I was a little like I went up a little. Well, I bought right away. I bought Cousins and Russell Wilson, and Russ went for 28, and I, you know, I thought he would go for a little bit more, maybe even in a Superflex 14 teamer, but after I got him, and nobody was really bidding, it was just you and I, Bucks, so I thought, shit, now if they're not really bidding on guys, then I probably could have got, I don't know, a quarterback, decent quarterback for under $20 later on, and so I thought, oh well, it's too late now. I mean, I did want him. I had budgeted like 30 or 35 for my starting quarterback, so I thought, well, I still save money to put elsewhere, and I never expected to get Najee at 39. I think I budgeted 38 for my starting running back, but I figured it was going to be somebody like Saquon or Kamara or Fournette or Javonte Williams. And then Najee went cheaper, and he was fairly early on, so I thought he would be a lot more expensive, and so I was going to bid on him. I kind of, like, the way I broke it down before I went in, I thought, okay, I have this much money for, say, RB1. Well, it's going to probably be one of these guys that I'm going to have to bid on, because everybody that's ranked higher than them or I have in higher tiers is going to cost more. I won't be able to afford them. Of course, you got to keep an open mind, like, yeah, well, you know, I don't, they're getting bid, or, you know, when they're nominated, yeah, I'll get in the bidding game, but you're not expecting sometimes to get them. But, and if you do, well, at least you can't just, you know, well, I can't afford Derrick Henry, I'm going to go to the washroom and come back, and he went for, you know, what you thought you could afford or something. So, I don't know, it was a lot of fun. It's a pretty weak bench, but look, we can talk about that in a bit.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and for me, I was surprised by the prices. And like you said, Slim or Blister, like those quarterbacks, like, it was unbelievable how I felt how cheap they were for a 14 team super flex. I thought, you know, there's 28 quarterbacks minimum that are going to go. So guys are going to be flying off the board. And if I look at like my cheat sheet, and I mean, if you're a member, you can see it, like at the quarterback position, there's a ton of green, like, and green means it was a deal. Like, I mean, like, $16, $16, $10, $14, $13, $10, $13, $19. Like the first hold on. Let's go all the way down. It didn't, not till Trevor Lawrence did we have a quarterback go above AAV. I mean, I took our Superflex and multiplied it by 1.15 to come up with a 14-team expected Superflex quarterback position. But Trevor Lawrence was the lowest, or I guess the highest quarterback that went for anywhere near what our AAV was. So that really threw me for a loop. And then I even thought the top tier quarter or running backs, for the most, not top tier, but the top 12 anyways, went all for the most part, savings too. And so that really adjusted things.
But here's the first, I agree, like quarterback was the one position where I kind of had, I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about that on kind of the week before.
Yeah.
Like, and in any super flex, it's for me the key position, obviously, because it's a super flex. But in terms of setting your budget, like I want to find out as quick as I can what I think the prices are going to look like, because then it gives me a path and I know maybe I need to put more money there. Maybe I need to take some away, and I can just visualize what the rest of my team can start to look like right away. And I know in our league, typically, when it was a 12-man league, it was our league, for whatever reason, devalues quarterbacks year after year. So I wasn't shocked necessarily that the prices were where they were. And I guess when I thought about it too, you're right. Like you said, even some of the top running backs were going for cheaper than I thought. But I guess when I start thinking about it, it's easy to say that in a 14-team league, everybody should be more expensive. In theory, right. I get why they say that. But when you start punching in a bunch of guys for $45 and $50 and $55 onto a budget, I start looking really quick and things start getting really ugly in a lot of areas. And I think that for us in this league, a lot of people have done this for many years. They see the value of trying to find the value, and you don't get four or five guys bidding on Jonathan Taylor when he's close to $60 still, like you would on a Yahoo mock draft or something like that. Guys pull the pin and they want to spend, I'll go for the $40 running back or the $35 back. Like, you know, so, I'm not exactly shocked. I mean, I did think running back would go a little bit higher, though. Like to your point, though, but
yeah.
I can see why that things went the way they did,
and it just made the bench. I think overall, the bench tended to be more expensive. So Blister, like when you're running $1 guys, it's got to be a tricky situation when your nomination comes up, because you need a $1 guy. You can't put anyone that good on the board because quickly somebody's going to go 2, 3, 4, and that happened. On like all these guys, so even your nomination strategy at the end becomes pretty tricky.
Yeah, it's really tough, because if you nominate somebody you don't really want for a dollar, well then you got somebody you don't really want, you know, then it gets pretty thin. But it's pretty easy if it's anybody that has like you know, anybody that knows a little bit of football or has been following or doing any homework at all, like you can see quickly that these guys are going to be scooped up. You kind of got to hope that people have left the draft or aren't paying attention anymore, but it doesn't work like that. So yeah, the list, I mean, I kept writing down names and saying, I'll be interested in these guys. I'll start nominating. And I was trying to look at, if I had 15 guys on that list, like, okay, I will nominate, like, I like this guy, but he's not the most well-known of this group. Maybe I'll get him. And it didn't work. So
yeah,
I had to keep adding names and digging deeper and deeper and deeper to find names to potentially nominate. And, yeah, it was getting pretty gross at the end.
Honestly, that's one of the reasons I like putting so many running backs on my bench, because I know that I can either nominate some receivers, because you can always tell like who's got a thirst still, like throw out a $3 receiver and, you know, like a Jalen Tolbert or trying to think of some names, Tyler Boyd, like, someone's always going to take those guys. You're never going to get stuck with them for a buck. And if you did, okay, you're getting a pretty good deal. And there's a I feel like there's just a lot of those kind of $3-ish receivers that someone's going to take for $2 or something. So you can just keep flooding the market with those. And then, yeah, you're not going to buy anyone for a hell of a long time.
But, yeah, you got to be patient now, yeah.
But at the end, when there's probably you and four other people that have a few roster spots left, now it's like, okay, I can kind of start going running backs a little bit and throw five running backs on your bench pretty fast.
Well, and that's where I found that I all of a sudden I was pretty loaded at running back when it started going to the bench. And I'm like, Jesus, I got to start trying to find some low budget receivers that I don't mind. Cause, you know, I got like Melvin Gordon and James Cook fairly early. And now all of a sudden I'm like, oh shit. And then, oh, I landed Pacheco. And then I landed Gainwell. I'm like, oh, hold on a second. We flex those two positions, but, I can't just have just receivers, or just running backs on my bench. Like, I'm going to need some receivers too. So it, yeah, it got a little hairy there towards the end too, but okay. Well, let's go through Blister. Why don't you, just talk to us, I guess, a little bit about your team. And I don't know if you want to talk about, you know, where it zigged instead of zagging or whatever the, you know, everyone, sure. Every analyst is saying right now. Yeah. Just talk about your team, maybe kind of your setup and how it ended up.
Yeah, well, I wanted to get two solid starters, and I seem to have a lot of Dak Prescott this year and Joe Burrow in a lot of my teams. So, but I always had Russell Wilson kind of in that same tier as those guys, so I always wanted to get kind of one of them, and I usually figured Joe was going to be the most expensive. So this time around, I mean, Russell was nominated early. There's a lot of quarterbacks left, so I kept bidding on him. Like I said, I had a budget of, I can't remember if it was 30 or 35, and I got him at 28, so I was happy with that. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, because we had a few Viking fans in the room, Kirk Cousins was nominated, and I think I budgeted 20 for my my QB2, and yep. I got him at 16. So again, I was happy with that. I see Trevor Lawrence a lot later was at 14, and you know, there's some good deals later, but I thought that was solid. So that was my quarterbacks. In the end, I got Mitch Trubisky for $1. I mean, he should be good for a few games, but I'm not sure how long he'll last as their starter. But at least I have one. And plus, there wasn't a lot left on the waiver wire.
No,
on the draft board. So running back, Najee Harris, Devin Singletary. Singletary is only $7. So know he hasn't been. He finished the year well in Buffalo. They got a great offense. As long as he's going to be involved, I think he's got a chance to produce some points. He's just, of course, one of those guys that nobody really wants to rush out and draft.
Well, I got James Cook for $6. So, I mean, $7 for Singletary.
Yeah, so he should start. And then, like I said, I really thought I needed another starter. And Damian Pierce has been just kind of climbing up boards and costing more and more money. So I ended up, I couldn't spend more than 15 on him. So I got him for 15. It was late in the draft. I think a few people were sitting on him waiting for him.
I think so too. So it went pretty heavy quick.
Yeah, you were, and Stu was too, I think. Hey, so, but I kind of needed him. So, that's it. And then I got $1 running backs and Hassan Haskins and Mike Davis and, Mark Ingram and Zach Moss. So I kind of got, you know, Cook is there, but Moss was actually having a better preseason. So, with Ingram and with any of those guys, though, you know, they're not hard to drop later on, especially for $1 investment. And if something pops up on the waiver wire, you can easily drop them. I wanted to get a pretty good wide receiver. I kind of really wanted CeeDee Lamb. And in a lot of my leagues, I have CeeDee and I got Dak together. But I got Ja'Marr Chase at 47. So that was that was my most expensive buy. My wide receiver 2 is Brandon Cooks, and that's one other thing I'm a little concerned about is Cooks and Damian Pierce, and both off Houston, probably not the best offense in town. So I know Cooks has been pretty consistent over the years. I like Brandon Ayuk. I got him a little bit later for $11. So I think he can jump in and replace Cooks if I have to, but I guess I can start them both right now in the flex. And I only got a pretty light on my bench. I got Bryan Edwards and Alec Pierce. So that probably going to help me a whole lot down the road, but I hope that those three guys I have stay healthy. tight end, I got Dallas Goedert, and I was kind of hoping to get Zach Ertz. He went for $12 kind of early in the draft, and I think if he had been nominated a few rounds later, he probably would have been cheaper. Most auctions I've seen him, you know, $6 to $9. So I bowed out at 12. I got Goddard at 11. I picked up Hayden Hurst for $1 later. I do like Hurst. There's a few guys still left on the waivers in our league that I think have potential to produce, but I like that offense. I do think that he was always talented, but I mean, when he went over to Atlanta, well, they just drafted Kyle Pitts. So his, you know, he wasn't going to get a lot of opportunity there. So I do think he has potential to produce and kind of outproduce his draft rank. So, you know, that's about it. Ingram would be a steal at $1 if Kamara ever did miss any time, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen now. And again, Bryan Edwards, I mean, he had a lot of, he's probably better off, obviously, where he is now in Atlanta than he would have been with Vegas, especially since they got Devontae over there. So, I mean, he has a chance. He had some, again, another guy that had some skill, but needed some polish, I think, when he got drafted into the NFL. And so, again, Mike Davis in Baltimore, I mean, I'm not a big Davis fan. He's been around for a while, but the Baltimore running back situation is pretty, you know, I think Gus Edwards is going to be out for a while. J.K. Dobbins should be playing, but, you know, are they going to ease him in? Davis looked well, did well in the preseason there, and he's experienced. So he could be okay for, you know, first few weeks of the season until their whole core gets healthy. So I'm okay with the starters. I think in a 14-team league, I'm pretty happy with that, actually. But I don't want to have to go to the bench. It's going to be some lean times.
All right, Slim, how about you? Some overall thoughts of your team and your build?
I don't mind the build, honestly. Like I said, I went in with three different budgets. Two of them involved getting McCaffrey, and I had about $55 budgeted there, and that's exactly what I ended up getting him for, which I wasn't disappointed about. I mean, I still think he's a value at that price. Mm-hmm. So if he can kind of get back to form and catch all the passes he's capable of, I think in our format, he should do fairly well for me. What was interesting for me was at quarterback, like Blister, I kind of go in, I've kind of changed my super flex strategy over the last few years, and I like to have two pretty solid options. And so I set $28 for my quarterback one, and I thought, that's got to get me Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford, or Trey Lance, or better. Those three guys were like my absolute cutoff at what I wanted for my quarterback one. And then, you know, as quarterbacks were going, I know I was in the bidding for Kyler Murray. He went for 31, Lamar at 34, and I was bidding on Hurts at 31. And I kind of just kept looking at my tiers, and I said, you know what? Okay, there's still a couple guys there. Let's go. But when I got to those final three and Aaron Rodgers was nominated, I just kind of said to myself, like,
I gotta go.
I gotta probably make this move now. And then I was maybe hoping I could get one of those other two guys, even whether it was Stafford or Lance, as my quarterback too. So I had $15 there, and I honestly assumed Rodgers was going to go. Since Hurts went for 31,
yeah,
I thought that somewhere soon here, the prices have to start to kind of, there's going to be a jump down here at some point. So I ended up getting Rodgers at 28, mainly because I felt a little desperate. And then not that long later, I think actually I had ended up with Trey Lance later on at 19. And then down the road, Stafford ends up going for 18. And I was kind of, the guy beside me actually bought Stafford at that point. And I remember going to him, I was like, motherfucker, like, if I knew Stafford was going to go for 18, I would have probably pumped the brakes on Rodgers and tried to save that $10. Because just by getting McCaffrey at 55, Rodgers now at 28, I had A.J. Brown at 30. And then Trey Lance at 19, I knew my running back too was going to end up taking the hit here because I wanted to make sure that I was pretty solid at receiver. So I end up grabbing Allen Robinson at 16. Again, mainly because I spent up at running back and I went with the more expensive approach. and then ended up getting kind of the high end of my budget on quarterback. Like normally I budget that 28 and I can find somebody for close to 20 and end up saving that and can pump a lot of money into my RB2 or my wide receiver too, even for that matter. Yeah. So Allen Robinson goes for 16. I get Elijah Moore at 7. And what I was going to say, the thing that I've noticed in the last few drafts I've done is I would say wait to fill those wide receiver 3s and 4s, man, as long as you can. Because if you, you know, my tier sheet, my tier 3 and 4, there's always guys there that are just sitting there later in drafts. And in our draft, it was Gabe Davis. Yeah. I believe it was Terry McLaurin.
Cheap too, yeah.
Was it Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Yeah, he went for like $9, yeah.
Yeah, so those three guys sat there. And I just kind of kept, you know what, screw it. I knew I had these RB1s. I knew I wasn't going to be able to afford like a $25, $30 running back. So I kept nominating any chance I got another running back that I knew I wasn't going to afford, trying to get guys to fill out rosters. And yeah, I ended up getting Gabe Davis at 8. Which kind of, I hopefully will save me to some extent, because I still managed to get 4 receivers that I really like that I could start all 4, 2 flexes. And then now I can just scab together an RB2. So I ended up with Tony Pollard at 8, Alex Mattison at 4, Michael Carter at 8, Jamal Williams at 2. And then I took some flyers on the San Francisco backfield with Jeff Wilson, and then Tyrion Davis Price at 2 and 1. And then another $1 flyer on Dante Foreman right at the end of the draft. So really all I'm hoping for is just to stream all 6 of those guys or 7 of those guys to fill my RB2. And I'll probably leave those receivers in pretty much every week as long as they're healthy, and except for bye weeks and stuff. Took a flyer on Kadarius Toney, hoping he can be kind of the wide receiver 1 as on the Giants as my wide receiver 5. And then a tight end. I knew I was going to go cheap there. I ended up getting Albert O at 4. I was actually really hoping to – I wanted Goddard, but I just couldn't afford to keep going up. And then I got Mo Alie-Cox with my very last pick in the draft at 1 as just kind of a flyer of somebody. And I really wanted to stack. Like I was going to try and stack Ayuk and Bliss. It's hard because he likes in drafts that I've been in with him, he likes to – he's aggressive on Ayuk, so I couldn't afford him. I tried to get Romeo Dubs as a cheap guy to stack with Rodgers. I thought that would be a really good stack for me. I couldn't get him. He went for more than I had. And yeah, so it just kind of fell apart there in terms of stacking. And but, you know, overall, I like the build. We'll see. I got a hit. Like Michael Carter's got to do something here. Yeah. I'm hopeful. Guys like that, just to give me a little bit. I'm optimistic on Pollard. I think, honestly, sounds shitty, but with their left tackle going down, Zeke's going to have a harder time running than he would have, which can – it might even lead to more 2 running back sets. I have no idea. But it could lead to also more kind of catches for Pollard as well. So we'll see. Like if Dalton Schultz is in to chip and block a little bit once in a while, then maybe Pollard's the guy releasing or something like that. So I don't know. I don't mind that.
But there's rumblings about Madison getting traded, Alexander Madison.
Yeah, I saw that.
If he went somewhere else, he could maybe.
Yeah, right situation.
Role, you know, so yeah, you never know. That could be a blessing too.
Yeah, well, that could be. It all depends on the situation, eh? But yeah, so I just got to hope that a couple of these guys, you know, maybe the guys in front of them get hurt. But that's kind of the approach I always take, is to load up on some of these maybe more upside-ish cheap guys, and then even if I can get 2 weeks out of them on a stretch, I feel like they've paid for their AAV. So,
well, and I went
one thing with the 14 teamer, the wire is pretty thin, eh? Like there's not a lot of guys that can step up. Probably it's going to take some real, like, oof. Be tough to scrape together. But anyways,
which is another reason I like trying to roster running backs, because I mean, like, I don't know. There's a lot of receivers that go late that, shit, I mean, you don't even want to start them, even if there's an injury, maybe. Like, they're just kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
So I'd rather take the shot on a running back that can get me 12 or 15 on a week where he has a good matchup and an injury or something like that, that, you know, so.
And that's
and
where
not having to buy him off waivers.
Having the multiple flex positions too, right, allows you to do a little bit more of that playing. You're not stuck starting three wide receivers. You can flex running backs and make up the depth there, right? So,
yeah, you could for sure. I mean, for me in a PPR, it's not an ideal way I want to build my starting lineup if I can help it. But in a pinch, I mean, definitely done it over the years for sure.
Yeah, you don't have to have as much wide receiver like depth on your bench is kind of what I'm saying, right?
Because
you
roll for sure.
Yeah.
Especially I find like if I can get, that's why I really try and get four or five guys out of my first four tiers of receivers. And then I don't have to look at anybody else and can let everybody buy these kind of $6 guys and stuff. And I can spend that money on running backs.
Well, and so when I attacked this, I was trying to, I don't know, I was budgeting to try to do some things that I don't typically do. Like typically I don't spend at quarterback or at tight end. And so I thought this time around I was going to do that. I was going to change my build from what I've typically done over the last few years. So I budgeted, you know, close to $40 for my QB. I was kind of going an anchor approach, I guess, kind of at each position. So I budgeted close to $40 for quarterback. My RB1 at 42, my wide receiver one at 36. I was willing to spend $20 or so at tight end. I thought I might be able to, you know, maybe sneak in a pit. So I was willing to pay up a little bit for him or something along that lines and then try to scab some other stuff together. But when I end up not getting Pitts because he went right at what AAV would have been and it's a little bit more. And then I kind of backed out of that. I could quickly rejig things and went, well, I'm not spending 20 at tight end anymore. So I put a little more money into some different places in particular RB2. Go. Yeah.
We should say this is a tight end premium league as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we did, but so like your approach at tight end, like I remember thinking the same thing. If Pitts went really early, I was like, I'm fucking bidding on this guy. I don't care. I'm going to go and make a really aggressive. I had nothing like that in a budget anywhere, but I just was sitting there in that moment as the draft was starting. And I remember thinking that I'm like, you know what? Nah, I'm going to try and get somebody like that. If they come early before if I didn't have anything else filled, screw it. I could have threw my budget out the window and completely redone it.
Sure. But
by the time those guys came up, I had already had some big dogs kind of on there and I didn't have any money to really start throwing around like that. But I wish I did.
Well, and so for $42, my RB1, I was kind of targeting, you know, DeAndre Swift or Mixon or someone in that kind of wheelhouse, hope, you know, maybe an Aaron Jones or even Harris, somewhere in there. And I got Swift for 36. So I was like, okay, good. I got another $6 that I can pile on, right? And then rebudgeting the tight end position, I had some more money. So then all of a sudden, Josh Allen comes up after quite a few of these bigger name quarterbacks came up. And I thought, well, I'm going to take a stab at Josh Allen here. I budgeted 38. I haven't touched my QB1 budget yet. Maybe, Superflex. I've never owned Josh Allen before. I've never got the top QB on a ranking before. Well, let's take a stab. And so I bid 38. Someone did 39. I went for 40. I wasn't going to go over 40, and I got him for 40. And I was pretty pumped up about that because I thought, you know, we have him somewhere in that 50s range. And so to get him for 40 in Superflex, okay, no problem. I wasn't going to spend a whole lot at this second QB. So I was okay with that. So saving some money on Swift and then being able to put a little bit more into quarterback. And then as things kind of worked out, I got Pittman for 31 and I had budgeted 36 for my wide receiver one. And so again, it's a little bit more money and I started pouring that into RB2. So the RB2 I ended up getting at Jen, I think you and I were kind of going at it, hey Slim?
Yeah, I can't remember what juncture that was at.
Somewhere like maybe not quite halfway through, but
yeah,
at the top.
I feel like I bid a little while for sure. I think mainly because I feel like at one point kind of the bidding stalled out mm-hmm. at like $15 or $14.
And I was and you're like, well, shit, I'll take them for $15. Yeah.
At least let me try and get them, I guess. And if someone bids me up, like, I don't know, when that happens, I just kind of freak out a little bit. And even if it messes my budget up a bit, I'm like, no, I need to try and generate more bidding. So if I can throw out a nomination and, you know, even buy a little bit more time for people to think, then let's go. Let's get the price more in line with where it should be.
Where it should be. And that happened quite a few times. There was a couple of times where I thought, man, am I really going to get him the so-and-so, whoever it was, for this price? And then, because it had kind of stalled and I hit, and then it was like, and then everyone, oh, geez, oh, that guy's on. And then it ramped back up another $10 onto the guy. But I end up with Etienne as my RB2, which I was really pumped for. And Pittman as my one. DJ Moore, I ended up getting as my wide receiver two. So then I had revamped my tight end. So I went down to Hawkinson at 12. And now I'm like, oh, shit. And then I realized after I've had too many drinks, I'm getting really heavy into this Lions offense. And then I got kind of stuck. I thought, well, I've got decent enough money to get an okay QB2. And for some reason, I don't know, I can't remember how or when, but I didn't go much on some of these guys thinking someone else is going to fall, someone else is going to fall. And then I end up getting Jared Goff too. So now all of a sudden I got Swift and Hawkinson and Goff, which was not necessarily part of the plan. I don't mind the Goff Swift, you quote unquote stack, but if he's going to get a ton of targets, then
skinny that, stack or whatever they call it. Yeah,
I'm okay with that. But then I got Hawkinson in there too. So I'm like all in on this Lions offense all of a sudden. But I got James Cook and Melvin Gordon quite early too. And so maybe there was some of that in there too. But then my bench, I'm pretty happy with my bench. I got Nico for a couple of bucks. I got Pacheco for $5, Kenny Gainwell for $3. So I'm feeling pretty good with some of those RBs that are sitting on my bench with Pacheco and Gainwell. Josh Palmer at $3. We won't get into it. Garrett Wilson for a couple bucks. Wandell Robinson for $1 and KJ Hamler for $2. So my bench, I'm pretty happy with my bench too. I think there's some upside in some of those guys anyways. So I'm happy with my starting lineup and just not 100% sure what the flex is going to look like. I think we'll get that maybe more a little bit figured out as the season's about to start as to who I'm going to throw in there. But I tried to change up my strategy this year to have a different build. Just because the Superflex, I feel that, like we've been talking about, you got to have one of them. So to get Josh Allen, I'm pretty pumped about that. And I should have hit more on Gabe Davis. I regretted that right away quick. I think I went to like 6 and then 7 and then whatever. And then you got him for 8. And I'm like, fuck, why didn't I?
I know. I remember we made eye contact. We were sitting across the room. I remember thinking, I'm like, how in the fuck are you not bidding on this guy right now? You have Josh Allen. And I was just like,
I don't even remember what it was, but I don't. Yeah, it was a freebie
to spend. So I was pumped to get him at that price.
But. Yeah, I remember kicking myself for that. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. I'm pretty happy with my team, especially my, the core starters. I'm really pumped about it. I felt I was aggressive in some situations, which I typically am not. I'm usually a little bit more balanced. So I was happy with that. But anyways, hey Blister, because we haven't heard from you, probably updating your rankings right now. I haven't heard any clicking, so I don't know if you muted or not. So what was something like in this draft, or even, you know, we did the Wednesday night draft, like what are some things you're kind of learning or seeing right now as we're, you know, getting close to the season? This is late draft season.
I don't know. Most of the leagues I've been in have been super flex, and so, you know, the quarterbacks typically cost a little bit more than they have in this draft, which I knew going into this draft, thinking if the quarterbacks went the way they should, that means there's going to be a pretty good deal on some of these top players, you know, after you get through the top five running backs or receivers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this happens every year. I want to differentiate, but it's very subtle changes I make because I kind of, you know, I there's guys that I won't draft just because of too much uncertainty. So, I mean, I kind of narrow my pool down quite a bit before the draft starts, but it's been working out. Like I said, I don't typically have this week a bench, but I like to have, you know, my last, we have 8 bench spots. I would have budgeted $1 for my last 4 probably, yeah, and $2 for my first 4, just so I had that ability to go up a buck. And, you know, guys I see on your bench, it's like Isaiah Pacheco, Kenneth Gainwell, Josh Palmer, and down on Slim's bench, Wilson, Jamal Williams, even I thought I might be able to squeeze for a buck. Mm-hmm. Those are all guys I would have been happy to have on my bench. Gabe Davis, yeah, like I wish I had more money to bid on him too, to have more depth at receiver. But, you know, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, it's the big name running backs are still costing the most, and the receivers are right up there too. I don't know. It just, for a 14 teamer, like Slim said, I'm not the starting lineups. When I look across them, they all look pretty solid, actually. You know, there's not a whole lot of difference between this and a lot of the 12 teamers, it seems like, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. So what about you, Slim? What are some things you're learning right now?
Well, I said kind of earlier, I think the biggest thing that I would do is bank on, and it might bite you in the ass, but I haven't necessarily seen it yet, especially in the last few drafts. Like really try and get value depending how you build. Like if I, like I said, I want 4 to 5, 4 for sure, pretty solid receivers. So I would be budgeting very little, expecting a value for that wide receiver 4 and even that wide receiver 3. Like, mm-hmm. There's just seems to be, I think because people perceive receiver to be so deep, they want to lock in those running backs and stuff. It's just the way nominations go. There's just a lot of receivers left. This seem to be kind of the last position where there's still some very good names available. And so when that happens, those guys are going to go for cheap. So you can kind of sneak one or two of those guys in, I think. And if it means you want to spend up more, say wide receiver 1 and 2, and bank on your 3 and 4 being, you know, less than $10 a piece, I think it's pretty safe to do that. And it's a sneaky way to maybe, save a little money or upgrade at other areas if you can. So,
well, and I'm just looking at the, at my cheat sheet that has all the values in there. And you're right. Like if you look at, if you go even a little higher, like if you go from wide receiver 14 down to, let's say wide receiver 30, like there was only 1, 2, 3 guys that went for over what I had projected as the AAV, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys that went for $5 cheaper than that, with two of them being $10 or more cheaper, right? So there was definitely a gap there.
Yeah. I mean, and I kind of, for a while, I was kind of doing the opposite. I was trying to nominate some of those guys in like my tier 3 and tier 4 receivers that I thought were kind of polarizing, that would sometimes go for really cheap and sometimes kind of go for right around their AAV. I would try to nominate those guys really early. Hoping you could sneak in a deal if people were like, "Man, you know what? I don't want to bid up because I know there's lots of guys left." And I think maybe that's not the way to go anymore.
I did notice that that first round of nomination was not on the best player available list. There was, I think, guys who maybe in our draft, anyways, they're probably listening to us going, "Hey, I'm going to throw out a." And I thought you'd laugh at the second round when I threw out Rashad Penny. I think I elbowed Blister and I said, "Watch this," when I threw him out there, because we had talked about him as an early polarizing player. But there was a little bit more of that, I felt, early in the draft than I was expecting.
Yeah, I think there was. I think it's maybe it's they listen, but I think a lot of it is, we've talked about it before. It's like playing cards with people who feel comfortable playing cards, or played, like most of the guys in this, in our draft, have done this for like over a decade now.
Sure.
And so they have their little tricks as well. And I think that, you know, they see the value in trying to mix it up and throw guys out that people aren't expecting. And, so I think there's just an evolution of drafters in general. Mm-hmm. They, when you get comfortable, you try different little moves and see what works and see what doesn't.
Well, in Blister, I think there was a couple of times where you nominated guys, I ended up getting them, and then I'm quickly putting it on my sheet, and I'm the next nomination. So it made my nomination strategies, for the most part, pretty easy. Like, I think you put out Josh Allen, I got him. And so I'm quickly look on the board, I'm like, Justin Herbert, boom. Like, let's get the next biggest quarterback out there. And then I think when I got maybe you didn't nominate, but I won Swift, and then I was the next guy to nominate. So then I'm like, Joe Mixon, boom, like, let's go. You know, and so it made my nomination for some of those guys. It felt like every time I was winning a guy, I was nominating next. So it made some of those nominations really easy. Like, what were some of the things you're doing around nominations?
I think it happened a few times. Well, my nominations always depended on how much money I had, kind of. Like, I bought Cousins, Russell Wilson, and
you nominated a bunch of quarterbacks, I feel like, after that.
I was trying to get some out there.
Which is smart, I think. Yeah. You're not buying one, right? So make everyone else buy them. Use your money.
That's right. And so then, so I bought a few guys early, so then I was quiet for a while because I just didn't have – I wasn't going to nominate somebody that I wanted early after that because there's too many people with money. So I was trying to get money spent again. And then it would get to a point where, like Slim said, like, there was times where – you know, you just, most of these guys had gone or they didn't, you know, it just felt right that you had to nominate perhaps a receiver or whatever, because guys had them. Like, one thing I wish we could do, like, or have different, like, I like to keep, like, I don't see very good right now. I got cheaters on right now. It's the screen on my computer. So to see what everybody has all the time, you know, where you could see all 12 or in this case, all 14.
Well, that's what I was thinking, Slim. It would be good if we could share this link with everybody while, as he's filling it in for viewing, right? So you could quickly see what's going on. I don't know. I mean, that's easy. Yeah. Everyone's got a computer in front of them.
Yeah. View. Put on view only. But then, I mean, that would be a thing where I'd like, oh Jesus, if you looked at the running backs, like the two starters or the two starting receivers, and realize that, you know, there's 14 running backs so far chosen, but there's 28 receivers. Well, I'm probably gonna put some more running backs out there if I don't need them, if I've already got mine or something, right? So things like that, it'd be good strategy. But if I look down at my paper and I say, okay, I've got, you know, $43 only left, and I got, you know, I won't spend my most expensive player coming up is going to be $18 or $19. Do I need a running back worse or do I need a receiver worse for $18 or $19? I can only afford one of them. So which one's it going to be? And I look at the board and say, well, these guys, I think, you know, are worth $18 running backs, and these are the guys that I think are worth $18 receivers. So I try to get more money spent, or realize, okay, if one of these names comes up, I got to go for it. So I kind of was getting to that point a lot during the draft, thinking, okay, I need to get, like, well, really with Damian Pierce, the Damian Pierce bidding screwed me out of the bench because I went up higher than really what I could afford. I maxed out on him. There was somebody else too that I did that with. I don't think it was Chase, because I think I budgeted $45 for my top receiver, and I was just looking through all of them, and most of the top receivers, probably about five or six anyways, were around 45 to 50 or 51. I think Jefferson was something like that.
51, but
So it was definitely, even Goddard going up to 11. I was hoping at that point in the draft I could get him cheaper. I really wanted Dalton Schultz. I got him in most of my leagues, but it was somebody else. But it had to have been Pierce was the biggest one I had left after that. So that one changed things for me. But that's usually what I do. I look at when I'm getting down, and if I need two good players, I decide which one I need worse, because maybe I do have a couple of receivers already. So I need a running back two worse, and I need a wide receiver three, kind of thing. So I'll put my majority of my money towards that position.
Right. Okay. Well, and for me, I think that gone in the leagues anyways that I've been in, it's like, gone are the days of the, you know, $70 Jonathan Taylor and the what, like,
no,
the big spending's kind of gone, and it's flattened out a little bit. And I found, like, in the last two drafts anyways I've done, that the bench becomes a little bit more expensive. And, you know, we had there were six guys only on the weekend that went for more than $50. Six. Even it, what's that?
That was it, eh?
Yeah, and only six guys, and that was JT, McCaffrey, Eckler, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, and Justin Jefferson. And that was it. And everything else was fairly level. And I feel like the last couple drafts, it's been more and more the startable positions have been maybe undervalued, and then that makes the bench a little bit more expensive. And so it's a little bit different to budget in that regards, because you're thinking that, you know, somebody's going to spend $68 on Jonathan Taylor and then they don't. And then you think, well, Cooper Kupp's going to go over 50 and then he doesn't. And then there's just more money left in the pool for later in the draft. So I find it was the last couple drafts anyways, I've needed to be, make sure that I'm still aware of what's happening on the board and then make those adjustments later on. Like if I was going to sit on some guys, then maybe I can't sit a little like too much on them. They're not going to go for maybe quite as cheap as I thought. Some of those late round flyers, they've been tending to go for a little bit more than the $1 and $2 guys. You know, you're getting them for $3 or $4. And that makes a big difference when you need to spend, instead of, you know, like we had 8 bench spots. So let's say you budget, I don't know, you know, like $20 or something like that. Now all of a sudden it's $25 or it's $27 to get kind of the bench you're looking for. It affects everything else. So the top end guys haven't been going for what I was expecting. They're going for a lot less, but it's, you're not getting the deals on the flyers, which I always think, like for the three of us, if we're sitting in a draft, we know those guys that are deep and that's where we're going to make hay. And I just felt like the last couple drafts I've been in, I haven't been able to make hay down there. I mean, I'm happy with my bench in this league, but it just wasn't the same. I didn't get them for $1. It's $3, $4, right? So.
Yeah, for sure.
That's get your guy season. You got to go and just get them.
Yeah.
A lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, I think that that's it too. And I think what's interesting too is looking at leagues are changing now too. Like, I mean, maybe some of our listeners are in, you know, maybe one league or two leagues and it's a pretty standard-ish type of a league. But I think that commissioners are getting a little bit stale with some of those traditional leagues. And so now you're seeing multiflexes and superflexes and these types of things. And, you know, it's tight end premium, but there's some points per carry. And there's some of those things, like that's what I've been noticing too, like that the league itself is kind of changing. And so then that affects where these prices are going. And so, I mean, I've had quite a few guys messaging and saying, hey, do you have this type of scoring for your AAV or that type of scoring? And just reiterating that point to them all the time that our AAVs are average auction values and they're not like a cutoff point. They're not a starting point. You need to be able to ebb and flow with what's going on in the draft. So it's a starting point and it's a way to start your budget and do those types of things. But that's the other part I've been noticing is that the league formats are changing and there isn't necessarily like a quote unquote standard league anymore. Or maybe it's just because I'm in fancy leagues. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's multiple flexes. It's, leagues are dropping kickers and defenses. And so they're adding a flex or they're adding the super flex. And so then that changes, you know, 5 years ago, it was pretty cookie cutter. And now things are moving. Mm-hmm. And so I think it makes it much more fun to draft. That was, I think, part of your reason for going to 14 and adding, you know, there's the three flex positions and those types of things. Like it's to make the draft more fun and then to make the in-season stuff more challenging and more interesting, and guys can build their team the way they want it. I like that, especially because you're doing it in an auction. You can build it the way you want.
Yeah, I mean, it's just always, I think, about trying to keep things fun. Obviously, yeah. Like that's the thing. It's fun. It should be fun. And sometimes if you've done it long enough, like probably many of you guys have, it's sometimes doesn't necessarily feel fun anymore. And, the drafts especially should be fun, I think. So, I mean, I like trying to try something different and maybe it sucks, but whatever. it's better than just doing the same thing.
Well, Blister, it definitely didn't suck. I sitting beside you in that draft was fun, and watching you chicken scratch and go and giggling at guys across the way and watching the different antics that are happening throughout the draft. And Blister, I mean, I don't know. I had a lot of fun on Saturday night. I'm sure you did too.
Oh, I did. I'm so thankful Slim got us back in there and expanded the draft. And like you're saying about like changing things up on some of those leagues that I was running before, every year I changed something, tweaked it a little bit just so people had to kind of, you know, be on their toes and make it interesting. You know, went from PPR to half PPR, but added something else or back to PPR and added, like you said, the tight end premium and different things. So I think it makes it fun and it makes it, you know, you're trying to create value at other positions too. When you do that, like, so that, oh yeah, we can just punt tight end this year. We can, you know, you can, in a single quarterback league, you can really get away with not drafting a quarterback.
Yeah.
Until, you know, for $5 or $4 later. Right. I mean, we used to be, all of us, for never budgeted very much for a quarterback because
there's, and now I've got Josh Allen.
Yeah, that's right. Your first time, right? So, you know, it makes it fun. It's always fun. Drafting is, I think, some of the funnest times. Like, it's, you know, there's so much anticipation and an auction draft. They last a while. So, you know, you get to have spread that fun out even longer. So, it's the best part. And, hopefully, well, I don't want to do any more because I don't want to look after any more leagues. But I hope we can do it again sometime. But not.
I wasn't sure if I said yes to the ECL auction, but apparently I did. So I've got two more. I think I got it. Well, two more. I think I got one more to do, and then
The EBL one. Yeah, EBL, I got that one.
Yeah,
I got.
And then I've got the Fitzy draft. Well, I mean the other draft, the boardroom draft. That.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The big one.
Yeah.
When's so that one?
Well, that's the boardroom draft. I don't want to give away too many, kind of like
secrets.
Too many secrets of who's involved there. But, what I do appreciate is that a couple of guys that are in our draft maybe are going to be drafting in supporting in another room, and I'll be supporting in the big room. So I do enjoy that. Fun. Yeah, so it'll be good. That one's always a good time, and it's always like, right at the wire too. Sometimes it's even when the first game's on. So anyways, guys, we're pushing over the hour mark. We'll try to get one more of these in before the season starts. Is that kind of our plan?
One more next week.
Yes, sir.
One more next week? All right.
We got perfect. One more thing here. I can announce that I won my Fantasy Bass League again this year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Blister.
So nice. Back to back. This year we had four times the size of the league as the first year. So that's a process. That was good. Unfortunately, all my winnings just went into my football pool entries. So they didn't last long. They went from one envelope to another.
to the other. Yeah.
And in the overall league, I slipped a little bit. I got as high as 49th overall out of about 40,000. I slipped 106th. So.
Wow.
Bummer.
Well, in all of that's crazy. Like, and I said this to you, Slim, or to you, Blister. Like, I apologize to your wife for getting you into the first auction because after that, it's just like Blister's winning fantasy bass fishing championships. That's that's a degenerate.
And I can get you guys in next year if you would like.
Do you have a cheat sheet? Maybe we could do a podcast on fantasy bass.
We could. I actually listen to a couple sometimes before I make my picks.
Well, I could give you a this is boat number 72. It's coming in to 10 right now. Neil Cooper.
You have experience at this.
I have experience in bass fishing. I just hold a mic and yell. Anyways, just like I have experience in hockey, so apparently I'm going to call some of those, but anyways,
multi-talented.
Next is look at the size of that heifer.
I gotta get you going out there.
Out at the emo fair.
I thought you meant at hard times.
Well, there was a couple of those too, I tell you. Ooh, boy.
Could have played guess the weight there, like at the fair. You would
have. Oh boy! Oh, you could have. But there was that one. Anyways, well, yeah. All right. Well, anyways, guys. I would say Blister. I'll see you at BLT on Wednesday, but I'll be coaching some football, so I won't be doing that.
Virtual. I think it's all virtual, anyways.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll do it while I'm driving because we don't have a bus. So
yeah. Well, we didn't have much time to figure out busing.
No. I mean, I only talked to the purchasing guy.
Started in the fall.
Yeah. I know it's a big surprise. It really threw everyone for a loop that we decided to start school after Labor Day.
We need a tender. for a bus company. We don't even have a bus company. Just mind-boggling.
It's mind-boggling. So anyway, so I guess I'll just see you guys next week on the podcast. And for the rest of you, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll become